Coming up on this episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast, Carl and Jason eagerly return to the lair after an extended break. After catching up, they dive into Rebels and discuss their views on the characters, storylines, and more. So sit back, relax, and watch out for Wampas.
Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, have been frozen upside down to the cave ceiling with nothing to do but talk all things Star Wars. So make yourselves comfortable, but keep a wary eye out for trouble here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. We're finally back for episode number 117, Keeping Up with the Ghosts. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me we have the Rick Oley to my Wes Jansen. We have Carl LeClaire.
Shield generator has been hit.
Hoo-ah, that got him.
Oh, that's actually Wedge, but...
It is Wedge.
That's okay, though. It doesn't matter.
I'm sad. I was like, that's the perfect line for it. Yes! Oh, now it's the wrong character.
Does Jensen even have any lines?
He says, cable out!
Let her go! Detach cable. Cable detached.
Cable detached!
Yeah, that's it. He's very vigorous with those lines, though. He does a great job.
He is very, very enthusiastic.
Oh, yes.
But, of course, he's hysterical in the X-Wing books.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, well, I say that like I remember. I don't. That was bluff. I just remember loving the X-Wing series books.
I remember laughing a lot reading it when he was on the page, but I don't remember specifics because it's been forever since I've read those books.
I know, me too.
And I keep going to Barnes & Noble and going, I should start buying those books. And then I'm like, I don't remember which is the first one. And then I don't buy them.
Yeah, they were... it's been probably almost 15 years since I've read them. But they were really good. I do remember really liking them.
Yes.
And I remember a lot of the backstories. That's when they're like taking Coruscant back from the Empire, which was really cool. Which is an awesome like overarching story.
Oh, yes.
But anyway... Back off of the X-Wing series. Let's talk about Rick Oley. This episode is all about Rick Oley. And kind of complaining that he doesn't have enough screen time.
Yeah, he's only in episode one. Why?
Yeah,
why
I really hope we see him in episode two. Seven. I really hope he's in episode seven.
Yeah, or maybe his son, Steve Oley.
Steve Oley. Oh, boy. Oh, the Oley household. I bet you they have so much fun. I bet you they eat a lot of SpaghettiOs. And they're probably like shaped like starships.
Ole!
You've reached the Oleys. Rick's not home right now. Sally's not home. Steve's not home. And neither is Rover. They have a dog, Rover Oley. Okay, Carl. And if you're still listening.
It's so good to be back.
Yes, it is.
It's so good to be back.
It is. You've been so busy with school.
I've been busy with school and this other like project I've been doing, which I can talk about later. But you've been busy with work and getting snowed in all the time.
Well, not so busy with work so much as this is the second Monday in a row I've had off because this is the fourth or fifth day in 2 weeks that I haven't had to go into work because we have over 3 feet of snow. So, and yeah, it's awful. Like when you're shoveling. And you have a 5 foot snow wall already built up. You got to like throw it over it. It's so, it's annoying. But it's fun because you're like on Hoth. So that's what I just keep telling myself.
And as someone who's living in Arizona, the idea of 3 feet of snow in and of itself doesn't make sense.
Well, the idea that it's February and it's 80 degrees doesn't make sense to me either. It's 14 degrees out right now. So
I know. I was in a T-shirt and shorts yesterday, and I was like, this is too early in the year to be like this. But
I was at the gym a couple days ago, and the fire alarm went off, And I was like, oh, I'm sure we won't have to be outside for that long. So I was staying outside with like just my shorts on and a sweatshirt. And we ended up being out there for like, it was probably only like 8, maybe 10 minutes. But it was a long time. It was like 15, 20 degrees out and the wind was blowing. By the time I got back into the gym, like my legs were like bright red from being so cold and they were like numb too. Like I felt like I was just going to fall down. So, but yeah,
my goodness.
Yeah. It was crazy. I was looking for a Tauntaun to stuff myself into, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, oh. I thought they smelled good on the outside. Let me get up in you. Bounce. Okay. Sorry. Anyway.
Oh, it's been so... I've missed you, buddy.
I've missed you more.
Oh, well. I mean, the good news is that since we've been on this break, this sort of unexpected break that happened, we did get all of our Celebration Anaheim housing plans finalized.
Yes, so we did.
That's exciting.
We're going to be staying in a literal house.
Yes. That's like a mile from the convention center.
Yeah, which is great because I've already coined a name for the house. It's Echo Base. Uh-huh. I don't care what Cohen or Cranky say. I'm calling the shots. Okay. Just kidding. They're going to be like, Carl, it's not called anything. Be like, shut up. It is to me.
It's the Ewok tree fort.
Ooh, I'd like that. Yeah. Actually, that's true. It shouldn't be Echo Base. It's in California. That makes no sense. I'm vetoing my own
California.
Yeah. Yeah. It should be Ewok. It should be the Ewok Village.
We're going to be staying there.
Here's a fun trivia fact that I don't know, Jason. I don't know the name of the Ewok Village in Return of the Jedi, and I bet you it has one.
It probably does, but I don't know it either.
If anybody
knows.
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, I won't even Wikipedia it right now. If you know this and you write in, you get a shout-out on the show.
Yes.
We're poor. Exactly. We can send you a business card.
I'm trying to get rid of all of my business cards because I'm thinking, let's make some new ones for this celebration.
Yes.
Updated.
I was just going to say, we have so much like awesome Joe Hogan art. We should really do something updated.
Yeah.
So, I should make a new t-shirt for Celebration 7. Ooh, total. That's going to happen. That definitely, you got to make one too.
Okay.
We'll
talk off air.
we'll talk off air about how we're going to make matching t-shirts.
Yes.
And it's going to say, this guy's my, and on the back, we can have it say, this guy's my co-host, and it can hit with arrows. But yes, we'll have to stand next to each other the whole day.
Well, I mean, it wasn't going to happen already.
Right, exactly. So. Oh, this is going to be fun. Yay. Yay. Yeah. This is going to be so much fun. Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Anywho. So,
should I tell about my project now, or should I wait till the end of the show to do that? Or should we get into the poll?
Let's get into the Star Wars stuff.
Okay.
Got the Star Wars mojo going.
Yes.
Now,
it's been a while since we started this poll. And thankfully, when I posted it on social media, there was a whole bunch of responses because it would have been really difficult to go, oh, crap, we didn't get any responses, and then try to put this out right now before. And everybody's like, wait, that's still the poll? Yes, it is.
Dude, you guys have been doing that for a month. Record a show already.
And the poll for this episode was, what is your favorite prequel lightsaber battle?
Mm-hmm.
And this is great because there's not like a super ton of them. So we're going to get a lot of responses for some of these options.
There isn't a super ton of them, Jason.
Oh, super! Not a super ton. That's
I think they say Carl and Jason.
I
think that's the translation.
Yes, that is the translation.
Yes.
That is Wampa's Lair canon now. Thank you. Okay, on to the results of the poll. There were two options that had one vote each, and those tie for fifth place. One of them is my vote. That, of course, being the Dooku duels, my favorite lightsaber battle is the end of Attack of the Clones, where Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Yoda face off against Dooku. I mean, who doesn't love Yoda unveiling his lightsaber there at the end of Attack of the Clones? It's awesome.
How funny it would have been, though, if Yoda pulled back his robe and he had a fanny pack on the side.
Fanny pack, and he unzips it and pulls out his lightsaber. Yeah.
Here do I keep my precious things.
That needs to be a Robot Chicken spoof now.
Yeah, right.
The other one that got one vote was the Yoda versus Palpatine duel from Revenge of the Sith. In fourth place with three votes was Palpatine versus the Jedi Council members in Revenge of the Sith. Third place with four votes is a specific section of the Duel of Fates duel, that being the Maul versus Obi-Wan section. There was enough people there that's picked that specifically that I made it its own category, so it was four votes. Second place jumps up quite a bit in the amount of votes. Battle of the Heroes comes in at number two with nine votes. That is, of course, Anakin versus Obi-Wan on Mustafar, which, of course, gives us Duel of the Fates with 11 votes at number one. So, not overly surprised there. And, Carl, you were one of the 11 people that chose Duel of the Fates. Tell us why.
Because it's awesome. we've talked about Duel of the Fates a crap ton of times. I love it. It's so much fun. It's fast. It's exciting. It's got Qui-Gon, who's by far my favorite Jedi. It was really good. I would say, though, my favorite part probably as well of that duel is the spot right at the end when it's Obi-Wan versus Maul. It's so fast.
It is.
It's so cool. I mean, I think I've mentioned this before, but it's been a while, so I'm going to mention it again. I remember, when I would watch that movie, when it first came out on VHS, it was right before DVDs got big. And I think it was the last Star Wars movie to be released on VHS.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
Wait, trying to think if Episode 2 had a limited VHS release or not. Maybe.
I don't know. I didn't have it on VHS, so I'm just assuming it wasn't.
You're probably right, though.
Yeah. But I remember rewinding it on my VHS player, and I would just, because we didn't have a slow motion option because we had a really old VCR, so I just hit pause play, like watching it in slow mo, and then I would go outside and practice it, and it was so fun, like doing the Obi-Wan moves and stuff. Yeah, I just love that duel. So.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not surprised that I wouldn't have been surprised if either this or Battle of the Heroes won out. And I think the reason this for me especially beats out Battle of the Heroes is Battle of the Heroes was almost too fast. It's too zoomed in, and there's too much. Like, I don't like the little gangplank stuff. I don't like when they're swinging around. I would have liked it more exposed head to head dueling. Like, that's what I liked about Phantom Menace. It moves around a lot, but you can always see them very well.
Yeah,
you can see the moves, whereas I felt like Revenge of the Sith was just it was just too much. It was almost over the top. I like the very beginning, and then to me, it kind of just goes downhill from there. So,
and you're not the only person who shares that opinion. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I definitely like it. It's still probably the highlight of the film for me. But my favorite part, of course, is at the end. But we all know that. You were the chosen one. It was said that you would destroy the Sith, not join them.
Bring balance to the Force, and not leave it in darkness.
I hate you.
You were my brother, Anakin. I loved you.
That was our recreation of the scene.
Yes. That is a literal, the raw footage of the scene.
Rick McCallum gave it to
made
us.
It into the movie.
Yeah. Thank you, Rick McCallum.
we've got a good matchup for you at the end of the show, so stick around for that. But let's get into our topic. What are we talking about, Carl? We sort of skipped over introducing that at all.
Yeah,
in getting here.
We like to make people wait till 14 minutes in to tell that.
Yeah, right. whatever.
They're like, I guess I'll give the Wampazer a try. What the hell are they talking about? Playing in their backyards, weird recreations of really powerful scenes. anyway, we're going to be talking about Rebels tonight. Just kind of an overall view of where we're at so far in Rebels. We're obviously by no means a Rebels podcast. There's so many great ones out there, namely the Rebels podcast by Matt Cranky and Michael Cohen, our good friends. And of course, we have the Rebels Roundtable here on the Star Wars Report. plenty of great resources for episode by episode breakdowns. Nobody does it better than Cranky and Cohen. I gotta love on those guys a little bit. No disrespect to anybody else, but I love what they do over at the Rebels podcast. Jason and I just figured it'd be fun to kind of just talk about what we think so far, kind of things that have, you know, surprised us or, you know, things, anything, just kind of just a general overall view of what we think of Rebels. Now we're 12 episodes in. Well, we're about to be 12 episodes in.
Yes. I'm sorry, my dog is barking. Can you hear my dog barking?
Oh, yeah. Tank's just like, I want food. Is that Tank?
That's actually Pebbles.
Pebbles?
It might be both of them, but I think it's mostly Pebbles. She doesn't bark very much, except when there's like stuff going on.
I hope the Inquisitor isn't there to get you, Jason.
So I don't know, but she's a little barker sometimes.
Jason, you missed my little Rebels reference right there. I said, "Hope
I'm sorry, I missed it."
I said, "I hope the Inquisitor isn't there for you."
Oh,
boy!
Oh boy! Dysentery, very bad.
Jason, can you say Usagai's Bombad for me?
Oh, Usagai's Bombad.
That's by far my favorite Jar Jar quote. We got to get Joe Hogan on to do a Jar Jar episode.
Yes.
We'll do our top five Jar Jar moments. Joe can do his top five least favorite Jar Jar moments. Anywho.
I'm seriously considering having that as an actual episode. That would be really fun.
It would be fun.
The question is, would Joe be up for it?
Yeah, he would be. Yeah, he's got
All right.
He's got nothing going on.
So yeah, we're just sort of going to talk about this and maybe talk about some of the characters, like as we see them now compared to as we thought we would see them. Our initial impressions of them, you know, so things like that. I don't really have any notes for this. I was at school all day and I was like, I need to make sure I get the poll results, and then forgot to write notes for the topic. But
yeah, I just jotted a couple things down. I rewatched a few episodes tonight while I was having dinner and stuff. So, just overall, Jason, I got to say, I am so in love with Rebels. Each episode grabs me in a way that even the Clone Wars didn't. Granted, we're only about a half season in so far. Well, actually, how many episodes are going to be in a season? Do you know?
I'm hearing like conflicting ideas. I think it's 16.
Okay.
For this season. But then season two is going to be a full 22 episode season.
Okay. How many episodes are the Clone Wars?
Clone Wars was usually 22.
Okay.
I think season five ended up being like 20. But right.
Yeah. So I mean, obviously, it's too early to compare, but I will say, I'm definitely preferring this more to Clone Wars. Every episode has definitely caught my attention. Like I've been drawn into every episode. Whereas Clone Wars, there was quite a few episodes where I was just like, I can do without these. But again, maybe that'll happen later on.
Have Fight or Flight.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too, but I know a lot of people have been referring to that as almost like a throwaway episode, but I don't know. It seems to me there was something in there that they like dropped a hint of and they picked it up like later on. But I don't remember what it was off the top of my head.
Yeah. I haven't rewatched that one. So it's probably not one of my favorite ones, but because my top episode so far is definitely Return of the Old Masters. I've watched that like six or seven times. I love that episode. I love really anything with Kanan and Ezra. So,
which is funny because of all the characters going into this, I thought Ezra was going to be my least favorite character. Can we just talk about Ezra for a second?
Let's talk about Ezra. Ezra Bridger.
Ezra Bridger.
I believe his middle name is Henry.
Ezra Henry Bridger.
Yes.
I like it. I like it. It works. It sounds good.
Canon. Wampusler.
Yes, obviously. Like I said, beginning of the show, I thought he was going to be my least favorite of the characters because the rest of them have these, you know, cool, you know, elements to them, either whether it's their backstory or who they are or whatever. But Ezra has like really grown on me and is definitely the driving force behind the show, as far as where it's going and that sort of thing. For the most part, which surprised me, and what surprised me even more is how much I'm enjoying being taken on the journey with him. Not that I didn't expect to enjoy the storyline and stuff like that, but just the fact that I'm really curious to see what happens to him, and I want to know what happens to him, and especially this unresolved issue of what happened to his parents, and, you know, now he's training to be a Jedi and that sort of thing. Which, by the way, when this show started, did you think we were going to get this much Jedi lore right off the bat?
No. I mean, I think they made it kind of – it wasn't like the initial impression that we weren't going to get really any of that.
It was – Kanan was going to be like this cowboy Jedi sort of thing, what they described him as.
But we have, Kanan has become like Yoda light, in a sense, you know?
Kind of Obi-Wan-ish.
Yeah, I've loved it. I have loved this interaction because I was, when I first heard, you know, oh, they're, you know, the Jedi, the Force, they're going to be basically non-existent in this series because that's kind of what's been going on. I love how much of that we're getting. And I think that's, I mean, that's what makes Star Wars so unique. Otherwise, it's just like kind of like a fun shootout in space. Mm-hmm. The Force is such an integral element of Star Wars. You got to in some way play with that, in my opinion. I'm loving what they're doing. I second completely what you were saying about Ezra. When I remember when, like, before the series even started and they put out like those little videos on StarWars.com with like giving mm-hmm. intros for the characters, Ezra was the one I was definitely least excited about. I'm like, oh, this is basically, you know, Ahsoka as a boy. Like, that's why it's kind of... Yeah, exactly. And the first, like, the very first episode with Ezra, could care less about him. He was just kind of this annoying character. Even the second episode, I'm like, eh, whatever. But he's grown on me a lot. Like, I really like it. And I really do feel like he's on the hero's journey. I mean, mm-hmm. I see so many parallels already between Ezra's character and Luke's from, you know, the OT. I've really enjoyed it, and I think there's a lot of complexity to the character that they've done a really good job building up as well as figuring out along the way. Ezra is very accessible.
Yes.
I thought he was going to be just kind of like a cookie-cutter hero character, but he's not. There's a complexity to him that I really appreciate. I think he's the most complex character that we have on the show. I think he's kind of the main character.
Yeah.
You know, Kanan's a great character. He's definitely my favorite character, which we'll get into a little later. But Ezra, I think, is the most complex character on the show. And if you're not going to be invested in his journey, that'll make the show weaker. So I think they've done a great job of pulling you into Ezra's journey. And I think this is so cool. It's not just some like rabble kid who like joins up with a group of rebels. Mm-hmm. It's a kid who has this enormous potential. You know, I mean, he's obvious, whoever he is, we know he's not going to save the galaxy. That's Luke Skywalker's role. But, you know, just the fact though, that this is somebody who's going to start tapping into his ability to have the Force, and the fact that this is going on even during the dark times is just really cool. His character is really good. I'm really enjoying him.
Yeah. I like what you said that he's the most complex character, because they keep unveiling layers to the kid, because obviously, you know, he's this street rat. That's what, you know, that's what we see at first. I mean, that's kind of what the whole crew sort of sees in him at first. He's just this street rat kid, this kid that came in off the, you know, out of the gutters. But he's got this whole backstory about, you know, his fear and anger about what happened to his parents. Now he's trying to become a Jedi too on top of that, and sort of figure out this whole rebel thing that's going on and where he fits as far as relationally with the crew of the Ghost, in addition to where he fits in a larger sense of the galaxy and, you know, Lothal as a whole. And it's really, really interesting because I feel like they're building up to something big with Ezra, but I don't know what it is, because we still have to have a galaxy where Luke has to save it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I'm really curious, and I'm really getting concerned about some of the characters, Ezra and Kanan in particular, and we can sort of transition into Kanan now, because they're really starting to build up some Obi-Wan elements to Kanan, and we know what happens to Obi-Wan when he starts training Luke.
Yeah, he buys him a cookie.
Yeah, that's true.
Deleted scene.
And then dies.
Yes.
You know, becomes one with the Force.
Right.
And I'm really concerned because I don't want that to happen to Kanan. I'm hoping Kanan doesn't become just another Obi-Wan character, you know, one of these characters that fits into that mold. Because, you know, Qui-Gon was similar, although, you know, different but similar. He filled that sort of role. And I don't want that to happen to Kanan either, because he's a neat character in and of himself. And so I'm a little concerned that he's gonna bite it, you know, halfway through the series or something, you know. I don't want that to happen, but it wouldn't shock me if it did.
Oh man, that would suck.
It would.
Yeah, well, actually, real quick about Ezra, I was going to say, I rewatched the Empire Day episode today, which I think is like episode 7 or 8. It's actually a 2-part one. And that's, I think that little 2-part series does a great job of showing you kind of like the complexity of Ezra, how he's really struggling with the stuff about his parents. I mean, somehow he becomes an orphan. We still don't know exactly how. We don't know what happened to his parents. And I think that question, you know, it's a very human question of like, how do you make it on your own? And how do you find a family when you feel like you've been slighted by your family? So, of course, initially he's very reluctant to becoming a part of this crew because all he knows is being abandoned. And I think that's, I don't know, it's for me personally, like I get that a lot. And I really like that character element to Ezra. And, you know, we see that the results of that abandonment play out in his Jedi training.
Yeah,
he struggles so hard to concentrate. And I think it's because he has so much self-doubt. He just doesn't think he can do this. And I think that's the result of kind of his abandonment issues. You know, people that are abandoned tend to think low of themselves because, well, somebody I cared about abandoned me, therefore I mustn't have much value. So I think Ezra really struggles with that, and that's what Kanan is really struggling to do with him. I love that, and I love that dynamic between the two of them. You know, again, and my favorite episode so far, like I said, is Rise of the Old Masters. And at the end of that episode, you know, Kanan's like, you know, I'm not going to try to train you anymore. I'm going to do it. You know, like kind of revisiting the do or do not thing that they were doing at the beginning of the episode. And I love that too, the little funny banter where Kanan's like, well, like I wasn't trying to pawn you off. I was trying to give you the best master. Well, I don't want the best master. I want you. It's like, whoops.
Thanks.
But it's like a really, like, to me, it's almost like a very cute pairing. There is this, like, there's this innocence to Ezra that I think Kanan appreciates. And I really enjoy the way that Kanan is. He's taking him in almost like a father figure, more so than a friend. You know,
like a elder brother.
Yeah. Or yeah, like a big brother. Yeah. But it's, yeah, I really like their master Padawan dynamic.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because Kanan was essentially nothing more than a Padawan.
Right. That's the thing I was about to address is because, you know, Ezra is growing so fast in the Force and is learning so quickly so much in the ways of the Jedi that it's almost too fast for Kanan to keep up with as far as teaching is concerned. And so Kanan is having to learn how to teach while teaching Ezra how to learn. You know, it's this really kind of interesting dynamic, which is one reason why I'm hoping that he doesn't become just another Obi-Wan Kenobi, because he's developing into this Jedi Master character, even though he's kind of sort of a Jedi Knight-ish thing. But he's got to, you know, he's been running so long from being a Jedi that now he's got to center himself back in, find those connections, those roots of being a Jedi, and, you know, bring back to mind all the lessons that he learned. And then find ways to find the other things that he doesn't know how to teach Ezra in order to teach Ezra. It's a really interesting process that he's going through. So I don't know. It's just – I'm really interested to see where it goes. And there's been some really interesting – what was that episode called? I just had it up. Path of the Jedi. Where they went to the Jedi Temple on Lothal was a really interesting, really interesting episode there.
Yeah,
that really explored the whole idea of Kanan's own feelings of inadequacy of being a Jedi. So,
and then, you know, I think what's cool with that element of Kanan too, like, you know, you said, you know, by the time of Order 66, he's an apprentice Padawan. He's not even a knight. And now he's taken on this huge responsibility of training somebody, even though he himself was never even a full-blown knight. And I think what's really cool about that is that element of, it, again, kind of makes me think of like when I first started teaching. You know, I learned so much when I was in grad school as well as undergrad. But it's such a – there's no better way of seeing how much you learn than the challenge of teaching it to others. It makes you learn it that much better. Like, you can soak it all in, soak it all in, soak it all in. But to me, the measure of how well did you really get it is how well can you pass it on. And I think Kanan is proving that he obviously was a very good student. And, you know, that he – because he's really – he's doing well with this challenge. And there is tremendous risk in it. I mean, in that in the arc earlier that I was talking about, you know, when they go – I don't know the name of that planet, but it's not even really a planet – the asteroid cluster where those little creatures are. And Ezra essentially channels the dark side, you know. Yeah. I think there's this tremendous, like, oh, crap, feeling from Kanan of, like, I've got to be careful here because he's a kid and he's obviously got a lot of anger inside. So you've got to be careful with this because he's growing more and more in power. But, yeah. So, what else?
What else? What about Hera?
What about her? She's one character I wish we'd get more of.
Yeah. It was. I agree because she seems like a really neat character. There's a lot behind those eyes. She knows so much. She's like this absorber of knowledge, and just it's only very rarely that she lets any of it out. Tonight is the official Disney Channel. Disney XD premiere of the episode with Tarkin, which I have not seen yet. I know some of you out there have through the app and all that fun stuff. So, but the latest episode I saw was the one previous where Senator Gal Travis ends up betraying them, and it was really great to see Hera get a little bit more front and center in that episode because. In that episode and also in Idiot's Array where Lando showed up, we got to see Hera a little more in charge and a little more involved in things, which was nice to see, but I want to know more because she's still got the secret of what happened to Ezra's parents. Mm-hmm. She still has that. I don't think she's told him yet, and I almost expected it to come out.
Because Zeebo tells her, right?
Yes, Zeebo told her, and I almost expected it to come out in the episode with Gal Travis because he brings up Ezra's parents.
Yeah.
And I almost thought that we were going to get that at the very end, but instead they just sort of sit and they talk about, you know, what they're going to do now, you know, now that they've been betrayed and this person that they had such high hopes in turned out to not be what they thought he was. And, you know, they're just going to have to keep pressing on and that sort of thing. They talk about that instead. And I almost thought we were going to get the story of what happened to Ezra's parents, but we didn't. But she knows. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it was so close. and yet the other thing she knows that's this little through line that's going on is she knows who the heck Fulcrum is. And we don't.
Yeah.
We don't know who Fulcrum is. And I'm really anxious to see who this person is. There's all sorts of theories flying around that it's, you know, it's Ahsoka or it's Bail Organa or something like that. There are those, you know, one of my
it's
early.
Hondo.
It could be Hondo because we know he's coming back. One of my early theories from way back when we first heard about Fulcrum was that it was Gal Travis, but I thought that was going to be too easy of something that they would do. And I'm really glad that it turned out not to be him because that would have just been the easy way to do it. Instead, we've still got this mystery. And so, but she knows. She knows all this stuff. And she's sort of – I almost think she's in on the planning phase with the Rebel Alliance. But we don't know that. Mm-hmm. I get the feeling that she's got connections all over the galaxy about the Rebel Alliance coming together. But she's keeping everyone in the dark, including us. Mm-hmm. And I really want to know more about what she knows.
Yeah. You know, kind of switching gears a little.
Sure.
You know, something kind of pulling back to looking more general. Something I love about Rebels as well, and why I've been preferring it more to Clone Wars, I think is the fact that we are on a character journey with all of these characters, as opposed to Clone Wars. We had all these characters that we kind of like. We know the fate of many of them because their stories have been told. Mm-hmm. And while I did love seeing Anakin and Obi-Wan do things and all that, you know, it just like all these little story arcs, right? They're always jumping around. Whereas Rebels, it's this consistent story, which I really enjoy.
Right.
And it's just, why did I say that? Oh yeah. 'Cause I feel like our characters are growing and they're growing together and they're all having such a unique impact on one another.
Yeah.
And, there's this idea a lot, especially from the Empire standpoint, is that our rebels are really nothing more than like insurgents. They're always referring to them as the insurgents. But there's this idea though that like the Empire is trying to prevent the insurgents from uniting, because that's when they become a real threat. Right now they're just, you know, basically like almost like little terrorist groups, you know, doing these attacks. Whereas if they were to unite, that's when they become a real serious threat to the Empire. So we see the Empire with the Inquisitor, you know, oh, darn it. What's that one officer's name?
Agent Callus.
Agent Callus. Thank you. You know, they're kind of their, our enemies, our main task is just to basically prevent any sort of unification. And I loved how, oh crap. Nah, I can't say this cause it's on tonight. Damn it. So let's just say tonight.
Don't tell me. I'm going to see it.
Tonight's episode is amazing. The Tarkin episode was really good, especially the end. Dang it. I said too much. Sorry. But it's a really good episode. Awesome. But there's this consistent theme that we get from Hera. We get it from Kanan and Ezra's conversations about the theme of hope, because this entire series is going to take place during the dark times.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this consistent theme of hope. And I love that. I love that feel that it gives to the show, that even though these are just small little insurgent battles they're fighting, they're making a difference in some small way, which I just think is really cool. And can I be theological for like 1 minute?
Yes, of course.
I
encourage this.
So to me, it reminds me of this theme in the Gospels where Jesus talks about the kingdom of God and he compares it to a mustard seed. And the reason that that's important is because it's this idea that it's always growing. It's a seed. It's you don't necessarily see what's happening, because especially sometimes when there's a lot of bad things going on, you probably just assume, oh, it's, you know, the kingdom's not really here, it's not growing. But it is. Sometimes it's in secret, sometimes it's not really exposed quite yet, but it's always growing. And I feel like that's what's going on in Rebels, is like these small insurgencies is this growing rebellion. Although it's not full blown, it's not complete yet, it's gonna be this upward, you know, uphill battle. It is happening kind of in secret, and it's slowly unpacking itself, just like the Jesus' theme of the kingdom is. It's always unpacking itself, but it just takes time. So I feel like Rebels is a great way of kind of showing us that, you know, the rebellion is slowly building itself up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I'm really curious to see how that all forms, because it's coming. You can see it coming. But we don't know how long it's going to take and who all is going to get involved with it. But I'm really curious. I'm really curious, and I want to know. They have me hooked on this show. They totally have me hooked on the show. I mean, you can't tell at all from the way I'm talking. but they have me hooked on this show and the idea of all of this. But yeah, no. You want to take it somewhere else?
Yeah. Let's mention the ghost.
The ghost. Oh,
what a cool ship, right?
I love the ghost.
It's so, so good.
Yes. And it's so nice to have another ship in the Star Wars universe, like the Millennium Falcon, mm-hmm. that we don't always have to say is, you know, like the Millennium Falcon. Yes, it is like the Millennium Falcon, but it's definitely become its own character within the show, and I would love to see it show up in the live action movies and have the Millennium Falcon and the Ghost going together and doing stuff. That would be cool. Not like I'm anticipating it happening, but it would be cool. It is so freaking awesome.
Yeah.
You seem to have an idea of what you want to say about it, so I'm gonna let you do that first before I completely blather on about nothing.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, how much it does remind me of the Millennium Falcon. I mean, in the OT, we have this ship that is, it's its own constant setting. right? With the PT, we don't have any ships like that. I mean, we have lots of really cool ships, but they're never like a permanent set piece. What I love about the Ghost is this is our character's home. That's what I love about the Millennium Falcon. I mean, this was Han and Chewie's home, and then, you know, they let Leia into it, they let Luke into it. But it's this idea, you know, that that the Ghost is really like where our characters reside. So they're constantly on the go. They're constantly trying to accomplish these little missions, but they always have this base of operations, and it's a movable base, which is important for what they're doing. Right. But I like it because it gives us a sense of being centered, of being at home with the characters. And it is their home, literally. I mean, like, you know, Sabine is constantly like doing these paint jobs in there, like customizing her room. Ezra and Zeb, you know, having arguments in their room. It's very much like a family at home, having those types of arguments. The cockpit, what a cool set piece. Every chair is different, but it looks so cool. And the the main gathering hold there with the little Dejeric table. I mean, it's very Millennium Falcon-esque. You can't overlook that.
Right.
But it's not the Millennium Falcon. It is still its own unique ship, which I think is important. To me, a lot of things that sometimes annoyed me with the Clone Wars is there's all these like little innuendos to things from the movies, and it's like, we don't need that. I don't feel like the Ghost is similar, but it's not trying to call it back to look, doesn't this make you feel like the Millennium Falcon? No, it's its own ship, but there's elements about it that are similar.
Yeah.
I like the fact that our characters have a home base. I think that's really important. To developing them as a family, because that's really what they are.
Yeah.
So
I'm thinking like the only thing that, you know, it could be considered like a home base from the prequels, because I'm trying to relate it back and forth to both the OT and the prequels. Obviously, Falcon and the OT. Mm-hmm. The prequels, I think the only thing that's sort of, you know, it's not movable or anything, but the only thing that sort of comes to mind like that is the Jedi Temple.
Mm. Sure.
Because, you know, that's where our characters reside, you know, that's, you know, it's their home.
Yeah. Or Padme's apartment.
That too. But yeah, no, it is definitely its own character, and it's got its own feel, and it's, I'm waiting for it to start acting up on them in the middle of fights just to be cranky and cantankerous. I mean, although we do get enough of that from Chopper, so. it's a super reliable ship, and it doesn't look like it should do half the things that Hera makes it do, but it does. So.
Yeah. Real quick, because you just mentioned him and we haven't said anything, it's Chopper. Chopper is the first time I've really been in love with a droid in Star Wars. And like, I know obviously you, Jason, are diehard R2 and 3PO fans. I enjoy R2 and 3PO, but, you know, again, they're essential to the movies. I couldn't do Star Wars without them. But they're by far not even close to some of my favorite characters, as Jason shows off his 6-inch R2-D2. but I love Chopper. I think he's hilarious. And, you know, this isn't just my complaint. I think a lot of people were kind of annoyed by a lot of the stupid little antics of the battle droids in the Clone Wars series, like their stupid little humor, which to me wasn't funny at all. It was just obnoxious. And
I thought it was funny. Oh, God. But then again, I'm such a child at heart in brain. So,
but I think Chopper is just, I don't know. He's just like authentically funny. Like the things they have him do, you know, I like the way his sounds that he makes, they're just kind of like lower than your typical droid. It's just, he's a really fun character.
He grumbles all the time.
And I like that he's more fallible than R2. The thing that annoyed me with R2 in the prequels is like he's got all these little go-go gadgets that appear out of nowhere so he can save the day all the time. And granted, he saves the day a lot in the OT as well, not as ridiculously, but in the PT, like R2 basically just becomes like almost like a godlike figure. It's kind of obnoxious sometimes. But too much gadgets. But what I like about Chopper is he sometimes screws up, or like sometimes he doesn't get the job done. So I like that. It's more believable.
I don't know.
I love when he and R2 interact, though.
It was awesome.
That was great.
And I hope it happens again.
Well, I hope Chopper meets, what's the name of the little rolling droid again? In episode 7?
BB-8.
From episode 7. BB-8 and Chopper and R2 just hanging out. It's like a gang.
C-3PO would not know what to do with himself.
I know. Oh, my. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. But yes, Chopper. There was a couple episodes where I was like, Chopper, are you a homicidal maniac? Which that might be true still, but it almost seemed like he was trying to get Ezra and Zeb in trouble, like dangerous trouble, for a couple episodes there. But recently, I've loved Chopper, especially the one in the episode where the Idiot's Array with Lando, and he's totally just like schmoozing up to Lando the whole time, bringing him coffee and doing all this stuff for him. And then at the very end, he like steals all of Lando's fuel and supplies for the crew of the Ghost and saves Zeb's life and all that fun stuff. But he's totally schmoozing up to Lando just to get under everybody else's skin. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
And then, of course, his little guard duty that he was doing over the sewer thing.
Yeah, that was great.
When he first comes up, when he meets the Imperial droid, and just sort of like nonchalantly zaps him and like just shoves him down the hole, just like that's nothing to see here. And he's, I don't know. I thought it was funny.
That was great. Yeah.
Chopper's great. And then, of course, he almost gets his little hands chopped off because he's trying to unfuse the door after the stormtroopers sealed it. And then, of course, Kanan just cuts it open with his lightsaber from the inside and nearly stabs right through him. And he's like, and starts, instead of being happy to see them, he's just like, muttering and swearing at Kanan for nearly cutting his head off or something.
Yeah, that was great.
I swear half of if we translated into English what Chopper was saying, half of it would be swear words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably. Yep. Since we're going through some of these characters, let's talk about Zeb for a minute.
Okay.
Do you like him?
I like him. Yeah. He was really prominent in the first couple episodes, but he's sort of settled back into this, I won't say, secondary character, but sort of a second tier character, sort of a, more supporting type of a role, which is fine. I was hoping that he would have had another chance to cross Bo Staffs with Callus, in that last episode with Gal Travis, but he restrained himself. He jumps down there and he ignites the staff ends of his bow rifle, and he starts going to town on the stormtroopers. And I was like, oh great, we're gonna get another quick fight with him and Callus, and then that didn't happen, and I was really kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm waiting for him to have another, Zeb centric episode again, because we haven't had one since, very early on in the season.
Right. Yeah. I really like Zeb too, though. I mean, first off, the fact that he is literally the Ralph McQuarrie's Chewbacca is really cool.
Yes. Yes.
But he is. He's kind of like the fun brute of the group. I like his interactions with Ezra, how they tease each other a lot, but they've clearly become friends at this point. But I love the I'm blanking on which episode it was now, but it's where Ezra and Zeb are gonna they're trying to get these fruit things from this TIE fighter, and he goes, "What you gonna do? Use the Force?" He's always that's, picking them.
Fight or flight.
That was fight or flight. Okay, I love that part. Yeah. It's so funny, and he's just picking on Ezra so hard. I think he's hilarious. It's so great.
He's hysterical. He's awesome. I love him.
Yeah.
He's really buff.
Yes. I mean, like you were saying, I loved his bow staff duel with Agent Callus. I was a little disappointed that he kind of lost, though, because I was like, no way. I feel like he'd definitely win.
Well, he definitely was out of control with anger and rage there. So,
true.
Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see if they go again. But it was cool to see a non-lightsaber duel. You know what I mean? That was kind of cool. Yeah. It was really well done. So that was really cool. Yeah. You know, I don't really have anything to say about Sabine. Her character is kind of whatever to me. I don't think she's been developed all that well. I feel like they need to do more with her. Like, why does she have Mandalorian armor? Where'd that come from?
She was at the Imperial Academy on Mandalore. We know that. We learned that in the episode where she and Hera get, you know, trapped on the asteroid.
Okay. I forgot that.
And that she, there was something horrible that happened there that made her lose, you know, that makes her scared of, you know, not people not trusting her, you know, with information and stuff like that. But that's kind of all we really got from her. I mean, they've sort of started to try and maybe do this, you know, will they, won't they, Ezra and Sabine relationship thing. And she sort of swings back and forth on that, whether or not she seems kind of interested or not at all. I mean, I guess for the one episode where it's his birthday, she was more just like concerned for him, not like interested in him as like a relationship sort of thing. But that's definitely more played up on Ezra's side than hers. And she's just sort of like, eh, whatever. But I mean, I feel like we're going to get more from her.
Mm-hmm.
But we just haven't got there yet.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see what they bring to the table with Sabine.
Yeah.
She's definitely one of the most skilled fighters that they've got in the group.
Oh, sure.
Which is great to have, you know.
Yeah.
Super awesome Mandalorian chick, you know, on your side.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do like the fact that she always spray paints the Alliance symbol, or the Rising Phoenix symbol is essentially what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, again, I think that captures the feel of the show. It's the show about the Rising Phoenix, the Rising Hope, which is really cool. Yeah, there's a couple more things I want to bring up, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I really like the fact that we've got lightsaber duels. Kanan,
I know.
Kanan and the Inquisitor, and we've gotten a few of them so far. The first one, the Inquisitor, is by far kind of a big deal.
Yeah, yes, that is true.
He's so cool. I really like that Jason Isaacs is doing the voice. I've only seen him in a couple movies, but he was in The Patriot, the movie with Mel Gibson. I don't know if you saw that. The American Revolution movie.
I did see that.
He's a really good villain in that movie, like extremely villainous.
Did he play Blackbeard in the latest Pirates of the Caribbean movie?
I only saw the first one, so I don't know.
Okay. I think he did.
Okay. But anyway, I think he does. He's been
mixing.
Okay. Well, he's doing a great job as the Inquisitor.
Yes.
And I really like these duels. I love that we have lightsaber duels. I mean, in the Clone Wars, those were always done so well. I love that we got so many lightsaber duels. I get bored of just straight up blaster fights over and over and over again, but it's mm-hmm. so great that we get some lightsaber action intermixed in all that. And it's really fun watching Kanan fight the Inquisitor and how he, well, again, I can't say anything, but just get excited for tonight.
Okay.
But
he did have another like little duel with him in Gathering Forces, the second part of that two-parter.
Yep.
And
he gets kind of owned again.
He performed better there than he did the first time. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah, but it's...
Now you got me really excited about tonight's episode,
you should be. it's good. But yeah, it's... I love that we're getting lightsaber duels in here again. It's so fun.
Yeah. No, it's great. I mean,
and the
lightsabers and the
lightsabers
and the Force are essential to me for Star Wars. And like I've said before, Jedi are like my thing with Star Wars. That's something I'm always looking forward to, and the fact that we're still getting that makes me love this show even more. Because I was kind of concerned about it because, you know, part of the thing with the Clone Wars is it's, you know, basically all about these Jedi characters that we've got, you know, established in the prequel trilogy, which was great for me because I was learning about this Jedi over there and that Jedi over there and getting to see all these lightsaber battles and Jedi fighting droids and other, you know, dark side users and things like that. And it was awesome for me. But this show, I was a little concerned because, you know, early on, we were being told that we weren't really going to get much in the way of lightsaber fights. Mm-hmm. And I mean, compared to Clone Wars, absolutely, we're not getting hardly anything at all compared to Clone Wars. But we're still getting a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot more than I thought we were going to get, which is exciting for me and a great and wonderful surprise. We got a couple of interesting duels that ended up being sort of like vision dreams from when they were in the Jedi Temple there.
Yep.
But so we squeezed in another duel that didn't actually happen. That was kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good having those back. You know, something else I wanted to bring up, and I think I've brought it up before, we did some initial Rebels conversation, but I want to compliment the music. I love the music in Rebels, because first off, they have its own original score, which I'm really appreciating. And I've noticed that they've been creating a theme for Ezra, and I really like it. And there's also such a great mix of the OT and the PT music. I really like that. I love that we're getting... I would say it's OT heavier. You know, there's more OT music than there is PT, but there has been a few episodes where we get little hints of like stuff from the prequels as well. And I just love that. I love that it's bridging those worlds and creating its own sound. I mean, this music draws me in way more than the Clone Wars soundtrack did.
Later on in the Clone Wars, the music started to draw me in a lot more. But yeah, I agree with you. I had a little bit of an issue earlier on in the season because it seemed to be drawing almost exclusively from previously existing music early on. And I was a little irritated with that because I wanted it to have its own sound, its own flavor, and not just, you know, repeat the you know, greatest hits, you know, sort of thing. But it seems like in the last couple episodes, they've definitely started to get more established musically as its own entity. I mean, they had their intro stuff, you know, from the beginning, but it seemed to be expanding the musical world of Rebels a bit more, which is great. And don't get me wrong, I don't mind hearing, you know, the OT and PT musical themes interspersed in there. But I don't want those to be the main centerpieces musically in this. They need, you know, adding flavor, you know, assisting with the other stuff. But it seemed early on the primary music was taken from, you know, previously existing music. And the new music was sort of supporting that. And it seems like they're now flipping that. They're in the process of transitioning into more their own music taking the lead with the previously existing stuff supporting it, which is what I wanted more. So I will grant them that. It's good stuff. I mean, it's all good stuff, but I was a little disappointed early on because it felt like it was just like, we want everybody to be reminded of how awesome the OT was, so let's throw all the OT music we can into the first like five episodes and go from there. So, you know, OT is awesome. The music from the trilogy, incredible. But I wanted Rebels to have its own sound. So,
yeah. Well, and I think it does have quite a few elements of that already.
Yeah. No, they're definitely working their way into something more their own, which is great.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say, I think I've said this a lot of times, like when I'm talking to Joe Hogan about Rebels stuff, is my favorite thing about Rebels is it has that Star Wars feel. And what I mean by that is that it's fun. I feel like I'm being taken on an adventure in this galaxy that I'm familiar with already from being a Star Wars fan for 20 odd years. But it also has that depth to it. And the Clone Wars definitely had depth here and there. There was definitely some episodes clearly made just for fun, which is fine. You know, there's going to probably be Rebels episodes like that. But I just feel like there's a consistent depth to Rebels. I mean, again, we're getting so much Force philosophy. We didn't get any of that in the PT, and we didn't get almost any of that in the Clone Wars. That was my biggest shtick with the prequel trilogy, is that there are no real philosophical moments like there was in like Empire or even in A New Hope, even a tiny bit in Jedi. But there's no like big, you know, Force explanations or how it applies to your life. We're getting a ton of that in Rebels already. Yeah. And I don't feel like they're beating us over the head with it, but it's there, and I love that, because that's what makes me feel Star Wars, because I'm having a great time like running around with these characters on these adventures, but at the same time, I feel like it's delving deep into some of these characters as well. And I think that's extremely what the magic of Star Wars is for me. So that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, no, not to mention it. You know, the only real, I guess, big discussion on the Force that we got in the PT was primarily from Phantom Menace, where
Qui-Gon.
They talk about midichlorians, you know, Qui-Gon. And
or
stuff,
the Living Force.
And the Living Force, a little bit there, which is cool.
Yeah.
But it wasn't anything like what we got with Yoda on Dagobah.
Right.
Which, I mean, understandable, because you don't need to rehash a whole bunch of stuff that they're going to get to in a couple movies anyways. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, no, it's interesting that you bring that up, because that's something I hadn't quite connected. You know, being there's all that Jedi and not a lot of like Force discussion is interesting.
The Jedi are more like policemen and soldiers in the PT.
They are. They're which, not just, you know, is
which is part of the reason they fall.
Exactly. Is part of the reason they fall, and part of the reason why Yoda and Obi-Wan decide, oh, we need to go back to the roots and get, you know, more in touch with the Force, you know, when they went into exile and that sort of thing. So there's a story reason behind that too. But yeah, it is an interesting thing.
Yeah.
To notice anyways. But yeah, no, that's interesting. What do you think about them bringing back all these, you know, other characters, OT and primarily OT characters. And we're going to get, apparently we're going to get, you know, Clone Wars character with Hondo. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people like Lando and Bail Organa and R2 and 3PO and Tarkin, mm-hmm. you know, coming back in tonight's episode. We had Vader at the very beginning of Spark of Rebellion in the extended scene there.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
I've enjoyed it. I don't think it's been too heavy. I thought the Lando episode was really fun. It was mm-hmm. interesting getting to see Lando run around and stuff. You know, didn't love it, but certainly didn't hate it. It was fine, was what I'd say. I mm-hmm. loved Yoda. I loved having Yoda in, darn it, what episode is that?
Give me 2 seconds.
Path of the Jedi.
Path of the Jedi, yes.
Yeah. So in Path of the Jedi, I love that we get Yoda, who is a voice to Ezra. But more importantly, of what he does, you know, kind of, you brought this up earlier, Jason, but the fact that he really kind of encourages Kanan mm-hmm. and reminds him that he is a capable Jedi. So I thought that was really cool getting Yoda in there. I have seen the episode that's going to be on tonight, and I will say I loved having Tarkin in it. It's really cool. I will say I think you do Tarkin's voice better than Stephen Stanton. I will be completely honest. I was a little disappointed. I'm not going to lie. I think Stephen Stanton is great. I mean, we've met him. He's a great guy. Not like we're good friends with him or anything, but he is. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. But I was a little you do a better Tarkin than he does. I'm not lying.
Wow.
Just like you do a better Emperor Palpatine than that one guy in the Clone Wars. Not Ian.
Tim Curry.
Yeah, he was terrible. but he's a great character to have back. And then Bail Organa, awesome. Loved having him in there, because I think that makes that great connection to the reality that this little insurgency is connected to the bigger picture, which I think mm-hmm. is really cool. And 3PO and R2, it was fine. I honestly don't really remember what they did in the episode, so obviously didn't make a huge impression on me. But
they
were
basically Bail Organa's eyes and ears for what was going on. So,
So what did you think though of having these elements?
I mean, I like it. I really like it. We've had, what is this, episode 12 tonight?
Yeah.
Yep. We had Luminara come in. Well, sort of had Luminara come in.
Right. That was cool.
That was cool, because they had us going there for a while.
Oh, I totally believed it. Totally believed it.
They had me hook, line, and sinker. I was like, what are they going to do? How are they going to deal with this? And then it was like, actually, it's just a fake. and I was like, But of course, well, we had Bail, R2, and 3PO in one episode. So that's one episode with an OT character there. First, I was going to say that I thought they maybe, you know, got a whole bunch into, you know, not a lot of episodes. But now that I think about it, they had like a 3-for-1 with R2, Bail, and 3PO. Yoda came in later. Lando came in later. We've got Tarkin tonight. So I guess, yeah. No, I like it. I like the way it's all been paced out. you definitely needed someone like Yoda for the Path of the Jedi episode.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and of course, in Spark of Rebellion, we got Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right.
Sorry.
The holocron, can't. Yeah. Oh, yeah, whoops. Which was awesome.
That was incredible.
That was really cool.
And it was neat to see Lando. I did like seeing Lando with, you know, a little younger before he became respectable. I was a little disappointed he didn't have a cape.
I know.
But he did have that plunging neckline of a shirt. it was like a little too much cleavage there, Lando. I kid. But yeah, no, it's just interesting the way that they're sort of sprinkling all these, you know, well-known characters in. I wonder what will happen as they get farther along, if they'll bring them back or, you know, what other characters we might get down the line. So,
yeah. Yeah.
We shall see.
I was just going to bring up one more thing for now, if that's all right.
Sure.
And I just wanted to bring up this again. One of the elements of Rebels I just love is how each episode is just reminds me of being a kid. Like, they're just these fun missions where they're running around to complete an objective. They're having blaster fights, the occasional lightsaber duel now. And, you know, what's just so cool about Rebels is it feels like it conjures up all these memories of when I was a kid, just laying on my bedroom floor with my action figures, creating these storylines. And it was always, you know, it was always just like these basic little, like, oh, we've got to go destroy this little Imperial outpost, or we've got to capture these plans, or blah, blah, blah. That's what kind of Rebels does. Is it takes the imagination of a child and puts it on the screen for you. And I think that is, like, I don't know. That's what has captured me. It has captured little Carl too. Like, the little Carl that's still inside me is like, yeah, that's how I would play this out too. Like, this is so cool. And then they're also giving me like these awesome, like, force mystical teachings as well to sprinkle in it on. So to me, Rebels is just doing everything right. I am so in love with this show. It's fantastic. But yeah, do you think anything about that?
No, I agree. I agree. It's definitely got that fun, that kid aspect to it. Which I, you know, for me, the prequels had that too. I know not for everybody, but it did for me. But I mean, yeah, you know, going back to little Jason sitting out watching Return of the Jedi with all of his toys ready to help reenact the battle scenes and help the rebels win the day, the Battle of Death Star 2, you know, it kind of goes back to that. You know, I don't have the opportunity to sit down with all my toys and do that again, but, you know, it's just one of those just one of those interesting things that it's really cool to have back. And not that I ever thought it left for me per se, but I know some people had issues with the Clone Wars and had issues with the prequels where it did leave for them. But it's nice for me, at least, that has continued with Rebels and is encouraged that sort of eager watching mentality with this show. So
I mean, I get so excited for each new episode. They're they're doing such a great job. So
And of course it's wonderful because, you know, it's all, you know, not all, but mostly the same people that worked on the Clone Wars, so they're able to take a look back at what they did and learn from that and, you know, bring all that stuff. So this is automatically going to be a better show.
Right.
Just because it's the same people building on what's come before.
In my opinion, I think the Clone Wars itself built each season. Like,
oh,
it was always incredibly good, but I felt like each season got better for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's a great point too. You know, it's not a shock that this is so good. You know, they've got like almost a decade of experience behind them now to start this new show.
Yeah.
Which is by the way, kind of crazy to think about. I mean, the fact that the Clone Wars started, wouldn't that start in 2006?
2008.
Oh, was it that late? Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's been 7 years, but
It's still
that's a long time.
Still, though. 7 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they started working on it in like 2006. They started like, you know, early, you know, concepts and stuff in 2006. Yeah. But yeah, no, they've Dave Filoni's been working on Star Wars for the better part of a decade now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is great.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't have anybody else at the helm of Rebels.
Nor would I.
Wish he'd get a standalone movie to direct.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. Just putting it out there.
You know, that's kind of it for me for now. Did you have anything else you wanted to bring up?
Not in regards to Rebels, no. I think that's pretty good. Now I just really want to go and watch tonight's episode.
Yeah, you should. It's really good. So before we go, though, yeah, why don't you let people know what's going on with your Lord of the Rings thing?
Yes. So The Hobbit has decided to put out this fan challenge. And what it is there are three scenes, one from each of the Hobbit movies, that fans were able to recreate in, you know, whatever creative way they wanted to do that. And submit those videos to the contest. And so I and a fellow Star Wars podcaster and friend of the show, Kyle Avery, Kyle Baca to some of you, got together and we have made two scenes and submitted them to this contest. One from the first Hobbit movie where Gandalf invites Bilbo to go on an adventure. And then one from the third Hobbit movie, Battle of the Five Armies, where Galadriel, Elrond, and Saruman rescue Gandalf, which is really awesome. But as of today, starting today, February 9th, as we're recording, is the fan voting process. And the top 30 videos from each country get to go on to the actual judging phases that happen in the contest. So what I'm hoping that you guys do is you guys will help Kyle's and my videos get voted on to the judging phase. And so if you want to do that, you can go to fanchallenge.thehobbit.com and they will have all of the videos that are submitted are up there. There's a whole, you know, several pages worth of them. If you scroll down to the bottom of the page and you type in Spacey Apes Pictures or just Spacey Apes, you know, as all one word, that is Kyle's, you know, studio name. Our two videos will show up and you can just vote for them there. Now you can vote for the videos can do one vote per video per day per platform or whatever. So you can vote once on your laptop, once on your phone, once on your tablet, on your desktop, you know, that sort of thing. So we'd really appreciate it if y'all could help us out with that. And you can vote every day starting today, February 9th, until 11:59 p.m. Pacific time on Friday, February the 13th. So now, unfortunately, our videos are only available to be voted on by U.S. residents because the contest is for 20 different countries. And there's a couple of different prize levels. The prize level for each country is the winner for each country gets a prize pack with the Hobbit Blu-rays and a bunch of replica weapons and props. But then the grand prize, which is the winner from each country eligible for to win, is a trip to New Zealand and a VIP tour of Hobbiton. And so Kyle and I are hoping to get to that. If you want to help us out, it is fanchallenge.thehobbit.com and search for Spacey Apes, Spacey APES. And there are two videos there that you can vote for. So, and I had a lot of fun filming them with Kyle and everything, and they turned out really well, and I'm really excited about it. So,
they're pretty awesome. I'm not a Hobbit fan or anything like that, but they're really well done.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I plan on voting several times.
Woohoo!
But yeah, awesome. I hope you win.
Me too. And we will make sure to thank everybody if we do win. So, but yes, that is one of the things I've been doing that's kept me from podcasting the past couple of weeks. So, but before we start wrapping this show up, we had a sort of challenge handed to us by Alarian.
Jeffrey Beaumont.
And why don't you read that?
Crap. Why didn't you tell me I was going to be? Hold on. Let me pull it up.
Well, I mean, I thought you were going to because you had.
Yes. All right. 1 second.
You had it up.
I did, but now I don't anymore. Gosh.
No, you know. Goodness.
1 second.
All right.
Oh my gosh, my internet is going so slow. You know what's funny is how like computers at one time were super, like when you get a new computer and it's super fast, and then after a few years it just starts slowing down. That's my computer now. It's always slowing down.
Aww.
Oh, come on. Stop it. All right, here we go. Wait, where do I find these? Oh yeah, here. Good Lord. Stupid computer. All right. So, Jeffrey says, this is a great idea. I love it. He says, new challenge for you two. One will be good and the other will be evil. Each of you will create a squad of your best soldiers using 6 people of non-force characters. You present your case on why you should win, and us, the listeners, will vote on who will win. Scenario: pick a general planet description, i.e. a forest or a desert. No vehicles or spacecrafts or lightsabers. It is all ground combat. So I think this is a great idea, and Jason and I are super pumped. Jeffrey, thank you for this. This is freaking awesome.
Yes.
But we are going to do that at the end of next episode. Jason and I are going to present to you our 6 characters. So it sounds like one of us has to be the good guy, one of us has to be the bad guy. Isn't that what you would have – how is that how you interpret it too?
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me. So the question is, which of us will be good and which of us will be bad?
Well, I think we know you have to be good, which stinks because half my characters were going to be good. But but I'm happy to
talk about this.
I'm happy to take the bad.
I mean, I don't mind taking the bad either. Will we? Maybe we should do this twice.
Hmm. What if we do 3 good, 3 evil for each of us?
Oh, I like that.
How about that?
We're gonna mix it up a little bit. We're gonna do that. Yes, I like that. We each get 3 good guys and 3 bad guys.
Non-force users. So I'm gonna use Darth Vader, Darth Maul, and Darth Tyrannus.
Ah,
but they can only fist fight. I'm kidding, but yeah. So thanks to Jeffrey, this is a very unique Larian inquiry. Which we love. So at the end of our next episode, Jason and I will present the 6 characters we've chosen and why we think we would win. And then you guys decide which of our combat teams would win, Jason's or mine. So this will be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yes. So,
hopefully we don't all pick the same characters. That's the only thing. But I think we'll be all right. I think if we have a couple repeats, it's fine. But if we have like 4 of the same people, we might have to redo. But
yeah.
I think you and I can touch base beforehand just to make sure.
Yes.
So
yes. We actually got this literally an hour or two before we recorded. So we're still figuring out how we're going to do it. So that's why we're talking about it now. But yes.
But do it we shall.
Yes. And we will do that instead of a matchup or poll next episode.
Right.
So you have something to look forward to for that.
Mm-hmm.
But for this episode, we do have a new matchup, and this is one that Carl came up with. So, Carl, why don't you inform the Larians what that matchup is?
Okay. In the spirit of Rebels, we've already seen Kanan do some things, but what about the Inquisitor? Dude's awesome. So for our new matchup, we are going to pit the Inquisitor versus Asajj Ventress.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
I'm really excited for this one.
I am too. So. Sith assassins, sort of. Yeah. We're really good with lightsabers. It's going to be good.
Yes.
It's going to be very good. So if you want to weigh in on this matchup, if you want to weigh in on Star Wars in general, I'm taking Jason's spot right now because
yes.
I don't really mind. But if you want to give us your feedback for the matchup, you want to let us know show ideas, general Star Wars thoughts, your thoughts on Rebels, we always welcome your feedback. So feel free to do that, of course, in Facebook, facebook.com/wampuzzlerpodcast. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/wampuzzler. Or you could email us at wampuzzlerpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes. Yes. And hopefully we will be getting back on a more regular recording schedule. I can't guarantee that specifically because we are moving from the apartment to a house at the end of the month, which is exciting because then I will have my own room again and I won't have to keep fighting for space with my brother. Anyways, that'll happen at the end of the month. So
it's like Ezra and Zeb over there.
Right, exactly. And the problem is I'm Ezra and he's Zeb. So at the end of the month, we may have to take another short break, but hopefully we'll be able to get on a more regular recording schedule again. But any final thoughts before we wrap up this episode?
I am all set.
All right. Well, I am eagerly awaiting tonight's episode of Star Wars Rebels. And with that, that wraps up this episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. It's been episode number 117, Keeping Up with the Ghosts. For Carl, I'm Jason, and we will see you next time here in the Wampa's Lair.
You rebel scum.